When I'd lit the candle, all three kids had cried. "My turn," said Jack, shoving his younger by 3 minutes brother. "Don't push me," cried Sam, shoving back. "Sophie, then Sam, then Jack," I said. 2 degrees in English literature, a career in New York City, and this was where I'd ended up, standing on a semi-stranger's doorstep in a Connecticut suburb with uncombed hair and a tote bag full of bribe lollipops, wrangling 3 kids under the age of 5. How had this happened? I couldn't explain it. Especially not the part about getting pregnant with the boys when Sophie was just 7 weeks old. Courtesy of an act of intercourse I can barely remember and can't imagine I'd condoned. Sophie reached up, pigtails quivering, and rang the bell. A dimple flashed in her left cheek as she gave her brothers a smug look that said, "This is how it's done." Nobody answered. I looked at my watch, wondering if I'd heard Kitty wrong. She'd called on Wednesday night when the boys were in the bathtub, and Sophie was sitting on the toilet, applying lipstick and waiting her turn. I was kneeling in front of the tub, my shirt half-soaked, a washcloth in my hand, scrubbing playground grime from underneath their fingernails, and enjoying one of my most persistent and vivid daydreams, the one that began with 2 men knocking on my front door. Who were they? Police officers? FBI agents? I never figured that out. The younger one wore a beige suit and a clipped inch of sandy mustache, and the older one had a black suit and thinning black hair combed over his bald spot. He was the one who did the talking. "There's been a mistake," he would tell me, and he'd explain that, due to some glitch I'd never quite fleshed out, bad dream, alternate universe, I'd wound up with someone else's children, living someone else's life. "Really?" I would ask, careful not to sound too eager. As a woman, these days she was usually the lady from the Swiffer commercial who danced around to the Devo song, happily dusting, stepped between them, hands planted on her capable hips. "There you are, you little scamps," she would say to the children. "I'm so sorry for the inconvenience," she'd say to me. "No problem," I'd graciously reply. And then she'd say, "Telephone." I looked up. My husband stood in the doorway, with his briefcase in one hand and the telephone in the other, staring at me with something that was either disdain or its close first cousin. My heart sank as I realized that getting slopped with the boys' bathwater was the closest I'd come to showering that day. I reached for the phone with one soapy hand. "Can you wash them for a sec? Let me just get out of this suit," he said, and vanished down the hall. Translation, see you in an hour. I stifled a sigh and tucked the telephone under my ear. "Hello? Kate, it's Kitty Kavanaugh," she'd said, in her low, cultured voice. "I was wondering whether you were free for lunch on Friday." I'd been too shocked to stammer out sure or yes. I'd wound up saying yes, even though lunch with Kitty Kavanaugh wasn't high on my to-do list. As far as I was concerned, she represented everything that was wrong with my new hometown. I remember the first time I'd seen Kitty. After a morning of unpacking, I'd driven the kids to the park our realtor had pointed out. I hadn't washed my thick, curly brown hair in 3 days and was looking more than a little disheveled. But the other mothers wouldn't mind, I thought, as I pulled into a parking space. As the kids and I walked through the white picket playground gates, we saw 4 women seated on the green wooden bench by the seesaws. 4 women wearing the identical shade of dark pink lipstick. 4 formidably groomed, exquisitely fit, terrifyingly capable-looking women. Each one had a monogrammed paisley silk diaper bag slung across her shoulder, like a pink lady jacket, or a newsie. "Hi," I said. My voice seemed to bounce off the pebbled rubber mats underneath the slides and echo through the swing set. The women took in my outfit. Loose syrup-stained cargo pants, finger paint-smeared sneakers, one of my husband's washed-out long-sleeve gray t-shirts. My messy hair, my makeup-free face, the belly and hips I'd been meaning to do something about for the past 2 years.